In my house, my wife and I are currently raising two small boys, ages 6 and 3. And there is a phenomenon that seems to be taking place in our house lately between our two boys, and I might call it trying to be first place in everything. Even being first place in things that don't seem to matter. They try to be first in who finishes their breakfast first. They try to be first in who gets dressed first in the morning. Who gets in the car and gets buckled up first. Everything is a contest. Everything is a competition. And very often, when one of them is first, it fills them with a sense of pride, a sense of accomplishment that they beat their brother. And if they are not first, it fills them with a sense of disappointment and anger and frustration that they lost. My wife and I try to tell them on a regular basis that the things that you're competing in don't really matter. That who's first and who's second makes no difference at all. As I was teaching my boys this, I began to realize that we as adults do the same thing. We as adults place high value on being first, on being the best. During the winter and fall, during this season, every Sunday, millions of people will gather around their televisions to watch football games and hope that at the end of the season, their team will be called the champion. They will be the best. Kids all over the country compete for class rank, and these class rankings ultimately help them decide what colleges they do or do not get into. People in their jobs and in their professions compete for positions of power and authority and management. And in social media today, people are often rewarded and praised and admired for how many followers they have and how many likes they have. Yet our culture places a high value on being first, on being the best. But the question I have this morning is, what value does Jesus place on it? How does Jesus look at being the first place or being the best? If you read our scripture reading closely today, you realize that Jesus has little tolerance for those who try to make themselves appear better than others. Jesus is specifically critical of the Pharisees today, the religious leaders of the day who are often Jesus' opponents. You see, the Pharisees knew the Bible backwards and forwards, and they could teach about God's laws and commandments as well as anybody. And Jesus said to his followers, listen to what they say and teach and do it, but don't do it the way that they do it. Well, what did Jesus mean by that? Well, Jesus said that they lay heavy burdens on people. That they use their power and authority and their intelligence to make people who don't know as much as them feel small. They make themselves feel more important by making others feel less important. Jesus goes on to say that in the end, we're all the same in God's eyes. That there is no good, better, and best in the kingdom of God. That there is one God, one Lord, one Messiah, and we are all under him. There is no corporate hierarchy in the kingdom of God. There is simply God and then us. And then Jesus lays on the most important truth in the scripture reading. He says that we should spend our lives trying to serve others. That those who exalt themselves, meaning those who lift themselves up to seemingly be important, will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. And what did Jesus mean by this? Well, if we spend our lives trying to build ourselves up, life will become about two things. What we get or what we didn't get. Who we beat or who beat us. Life becomes a competition in which we are either winners or losers. And more often than not, we will find ourselves not the best, but we'll find ourselves having others be better than us, having others get something that we didn't get. And if we spend our lives counting simply wins and losses, we run the risk of becoming very bitter people, very jaded people, looking at the world around us and not seeing blessings that we should be grateful for, but instead looking at all the ways that we haven't achieved, all the things that others have got that we have not gotten. But what's the other way? What's the alternative to this? In the 1980s, there was a movie star named Michael J. Fox who came on the scene through one of the most popular sitcoms of the day, and he became an instant star. After he became a star on this sitcom, he went on to star in one of the most popular trilogies in that decade, a personal favorite of mine as a child, called Back to the Future. It's fair to say that Michael J. Fox in the 80s and early 90s was one of the biggest movie stars on the planet. He had it all, everything that anyone would have wanted, fame, fortune, and everything that goes along with it. But while he was filming the 1991 movie Doc Hollywood, he began to notice that he had some strange physical symptoms. He went to the doctor and he found that at a very young age, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. This led him to spend the next 7 years in a great depression in which he abused alcohol and felt like life was not worth living. Well, after 7 years in 1998, he found sobriety and in turn began to reflect on his life and then went on to write a book about his experiences. Now you might ask what the title of this book was. Maybe it's something like Life Isn't Fair or Why Did This Happen to Me? No, it was none of those things. Instead, the book was called Lucky Man. Michael J. Fox wrote a book about how, in spite of his Parkinson's disease, he was a lucky man. And he had a quote in that book that I want to share with you today. And it's this. If you were to rush into this room right now and announce that you had struck a deal with God, Allah, Buddha, Christ, Krishna, Bill Gates, whomever, in which the 10 years since my diagnosis could be magically taken away, traded in for 10 more years as the person I was before, I would, without a moment's hesitation, tell you to take a hike. Michael J. Fox is saying that his life because of Parkinson's is better than his life was before Parkinson's. How could he say such a thing? That he wouldn't want to be free of this diagnosis, this experience, if he could? Well, he goes on to say in the book, it's because before his diagnosis in Parkinson's, he thought life was all about him. He thought life was all about his fame, his fortune, his good luck, his wealth, his cars, whatever have you. But Parkinson's forced him to realize something very important. That as much money as he had, as much fame as he had, life was not about him. Life was largely outside of his control. And because of his Parkinson's disease, he dedicated and has dedicated the rest of his life to trying to find a cure. You see, Michael J. Fox's life, because of his Parkinson's disease, went from being about himself, went from serving himself, to serving others. As Jesus put it, he was humbled. And because he was humbled, he was able to be exalted. See, we must live our life the same way. We must live our life finding opportunities to serve others. So much of what our culture teaches us, so much what our culture instructs us is to get as much as you can, to take as much as you can for yourself. But doing that will always leave you with a feeling of emptiness. Because whenever you get something new, get something good for yourself, that good feeling eventually wears off. I mean, think about it when you get a new car, for example, right? How excited you feel. Got that new car smell, right? It feels really great. But after a while, that new car just feels like a car. And will continue to feel like a car unless you get another new car, and another new car, and another new car. You see, like, living for yourself is like trying to feed yourself, but no matter how much you eat, you're always left feeling hungry. But serving others, spending our life being about others, that is the most fulfilling thing possible. I want to share a video with you that I came across recently on social media that I think illustrates this point. It takes place during a youth basketball game. Go ahead and take a look. You see, we can either be the person that tries to make the basket for ourselves, or we can be the person that tries to help someone else make the basket. You see, we can serve others. We can dedicate our life to building others up. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus doesn't expect us more often than not to do this in big and exciting ways, but Jesus more often than not expects us to do this in small ways. By supporting something like our church is having, like a veterans clothing drive, and giving a few coats or boots or gloves to help those in need. By being a good friend. By taking the time to call someone who might feel lonely or isolated in some way. And yes, there is a place for rest and relax and enjoyment. I'm not saying that. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We do need to take time for ourselves sometimes. We do need to relax and enjoy things sometimes. That's okay. Relaxation is a part of life. But it is not our mission in life. It is not our mission in life to live our best life simply for ourselves. But as Jesus points out today in our scripture reading, it is about serving others. It is about doing something for someone else. So may you realize that true peace and true joy comes not from building yourself up, but from building someone else up. May you look for small ways each and every day to help the people around you, to be a blessing to someone in need. And may you know that God goes with you whenever you do this. Amen.